Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Your station for the best Ravens coverage.
Bringing the team to the fans.
It's news from the nest.
We're grateful for our media. We really are, most of the time.
With Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
Sponsored by Window Nation. Right now from Window Nation, buy two windows, get two free, and pay nothing until 2027. Offer ending soon. Schedule your free estimate at 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
Ravens back in practice today, getting ready for the Kansas City Chiefs. 3:15, John Harbaugh meet with the media, along with Lamar Jackson and others, later on in the afternoon. But earlier in the program, gave you the breakdown of the Ravens defense against Detroit. Needless to say, wasn't all that great. Now we're off to the offense, and Vinny, they've scored 30 points. Everything must have been fine and dandy. Lamar had four touchdowns and a quarterback rating of well over 140. Almost a perfect quarterback rating. So offense was great, right?
No. You know, the thing about it is with the offense, similar, the O-line really didn't take the fight to them. You know, I mean, the first drive, you think, oh, you know, go right down the field, get a touchdown. You know, Henry goes 20-some yards for the TD. All look good. But then, let's just talk about the run game with the offensive line. They were not knocking people off. They're not getting any movement. But because you see what you see, like the Ravens getting an eight-man front, what you see is you see beautiful double teams by Detroit. They come off, both of them together, flat back, timing perfect. Then they combo up and they're in the linebacker's face and they're getting yards. Ravens, it's not in sync right now, the O-line. You know, guys are getting driven back. Guys are getting stood up. Guys are letting penetration. Big boy can't get his feet going. And that's the way to stop Henry. Do not let him get going. You know, if he's coming downhill and he's moving, he's hard to tackle. So that was, you know, and Derrick Henry, you know, with the fumble, he missed a couple holes, I thought. You know, like when they try to go wide, there's some cutback lanes, it looks like, to me, watching the film, and he'll probably see the same thing, you know, in there. I think it's time for, you know, Keaton Mitchell, you know, bring that bring a home run threat in there in the running game. Maybe give him a chance or two also, I would think. But the O-line, you know, in the passing stuff, I thought that Stanley and Rosengarten struggled against Hutchinson. You know, Stanley got beat a couple times. I thought Rosengarten had a tough day all over. He was getting pushed back. And what was happening to Lamar was, you know, it would be look like the pocket would be okay, but then somebody would flash. You know, because their D linemen never stop. They never stop. They may get stopped initially, but no, they keep moving. And then they'll flash, and then Lamar, you know, sees color, and then he moves, brings the ball down, and they had a spy sitting right there. He had nowhere to go. That was the problem, and we saw it many times. There was nowhere for him to escape, and that's why he got sacked so many times. You know, I just thought that the O-line had a rough day. And the run stuff, they just got to be more physical up front. Now, the receivers, when Detroit lined up in an eight-man front and played man coverage most of the time and says, you're not getting open. And you know what? They didn't. They didn't. Zay didn't get open. Did not get open.
Three targets?
Yeah. Three targets. And one, Lamar overthrew him, you know. So that was not good. I mean, Bateman, you know, like a lot of the stuff Bate caught the ball in zone coverage a lot, you know, and then they didn't cover Andrews or Kolar most of the time. You know, they just turn them loose. They probably feel they don't throw to those guys. We're not even going to cover them. And if they throw it to them, you know, we'll just tackle them. That's kind of the way it looked. Now, with Lamar, that's the most frustrated I've ever seen Lamar look in a game. It just seemed like he was frustrated a lot. And you could see it in his face.
With what? What got him all set off here?
I don't know. I think
we've seen him slam helmets before.
Yeah, but Bob, I think that maybe receiver's not getting open. You know, so, you know, like he's wanting to throw it. And they're like, damn, there ain't nobody to throw to. And then he can't escape. I think that probably gets him more frustrated than anything. Like, you know, I can't do anything. You know, that was, you know, when you get sacked six times. But, I mean, right from the get-go, I just felt like he was frustrated, you know, with, I don't, you know, like he missed D-Hop. Like, there was a miscommunication on that one, you know, with Justice Hill. You know, he's got, Justice Hill cuts inside. You're on the wheel route. You stay to the outside. So I think there was a lot of miscues. You know, I'll bet you, you know, if people asked Harbs, on both sides of the ball, Harbs, how many mental errors was there in this game? I'll bet you there was quite a few mental errors in this game. And then, you know, you get down, you know, on the goal line down there. Bob, they, on the one where they didn't, when Lamar ended up fumbling and stuff, Noteboom and Brady Cleveland, they both came in. Noteboom is the extra tight end, you know, lining up next to Cleveland. Cleveland just goes right down the line. I don't know what he was doing, like he was crawling on the line of scrimmage, crawling down the line. And Noteboom gets drilled into the backfield, gets knocked totally into the backfield and disrupts the whole play. Otherwise, he walks in for a touchdown. I mean, those are like the little things that you do. You can't, as an old lineman, if you get high, you're going to get driven back. You know, you got to stay low. And we were, like I said, with the D-line, they were catching. The O-line was catching. They were coming off being aggressive and stuff. So overall, you know, I mean, Lamar had, you know, a lot of great stats. But I think Lamar probably felt like it was just an okay game for him at best. You know, I mean, he missed Zay Flowers. You know, he missed Zay Flowers twice on that outcut, which could have been a first down. Missed him. You know, so I just think that I think it goes, Bob, to his frustration is about he could not escape. You know, he just like, they got me here. They got a spy right there waiting. And then, like, when I do escape, you know, I get to, a couple times, Bob, they just grabbed his ankle and he had wide open field. You know, and that kind of like, you know, because I think Lamar's such a competitor and wants to win, Bob, that when he can't make a play or he can't do, I think he gets frustrated. And I think the other frustration too, Bob, when you're sitting on that bench for 11 minutes watching your defense. Right. And then the other thing you and I talked about off air, if you're the offense, you got a lot of pressure on you because the defense can't. You got to score every time because you know your defense can't score. So, you know, it's kind of like Cincinnati, I'm sure, last year. We got to score 30, otherwise we got no shot.
But what time, at what point, if it does it creep into where, like, somebody on the offense goes up to either Zach or a member of the defense, like, hey, a-holes. I mean, what do we got to put 50 on the board to win a game here? It's a team sport. Help us out a little bit here.
Yeah. Who would be?
We're the highest scoring team in the NFL, and we're 1-2.
Yeah. Who would be that guy on the offense that would say something like that in your mind? I don't know. They got a guy.
Yeah. Well, at least not
Lindeball,
like,
maybe?
Like all aggressive, like, you fellas, you know. Trying today or
yeah.
All right, we'll come back.
We got to score 30 today or 40.
We'll come back, count some dough, buy or sell, talk about sports subject of this Woman Crush Wednesday. Talk to Jim Hunter for the final time this year, our colleague on Baltimore Baseball Tonight, about the offseason ahead for Mike Elias. Personnel-wise, he's got a lot to do, as we know, but what do they need to make this team a playoff-worthy contender in 2026? And then me, Nolan, and Vinny are going to do our heroes of the week, NFL style for week three, and then we'll get back to your phone calls, NFL lunch style, coming up at 1 o'clock. It's a busy day here on The Fan. We got you covered.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you buying?
Great cash, homie.
Or selling?
I'm not gonna buy into that crap.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Here on this Woman Crush Wednesday, Bob Eddy, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw. We got a lot to get to, sports related. NBA's had their photo days. Practice is starting. They're already doing preseason hockey in the NHL. What the hell is going on here? Halloween's next month. But we still got plenty of baseball and certainly the NFL and college well into their seasons. We'll get into all of that more, but right now let's count some dough. We'll buy ourselves.
I'm seeing a little red. A little red today. The Dow's down 128. The S&P's down 27. NASDAQ's down 131. DraftKings is down 29 cents. Under Armour's up a cent. $4.71.
One penny at a time. We'll get there.
Well, stock is currently down for J.J. McCarthy, nursing that sprained ankle. Vikings coach Kevin O'Connell says they're looking to get him back up to speed ASAP. However, in the meantime, Carson Wentz will remain the starter for week four, and he was more than solid in their blowout win over Cincinnati. A pair of passing touchdowns, no turnovers. We'll see how he fares against the Steelers' defense this time around. But keep in mind, as we heard from Will Graves earlier, of course, the Vikings and Steelers playing in Dublin, and the Vikings staying overseas ahead of week five when they play in London. So a full two-week trip for them. Maybe safe to assume in that case that Wentz is locked in for at least two more starts at this point. But buy or sell, Vinny, Wentz will play well enough that Minnesota will actually have a tough decision to make when McCarthy is healthy.
I'm going to sell it. I think they got too much invested in McCarthy, and I think when McCarthy's healthy, he'll be back. But I'm happy for Wentz. You know, I mean, it's his childhood team and everything, so good for him. Because he has the ability to turn the ball over.
Well, I'll go over to baseball here, where MLB delivered some good news for those of us who have become completely enraged with the umpires yesterday, talking about the ABS challenge system. Going to be a part of Major League Baseball next year, meaning players can dispute an umpire's ball or strike call in real time. No need for replay, no need for a delay. This is almost instantaneous. They'd bring it up on the Jumbotron. Everyone in the stadium can see it together. They get the call right there. Now, a good chunk of younger players across the league should already be familiar with this. They experienced it being utilized in the minors, and pretty much everyone else got a trial period taste of it in spring training this year. Bob, I know you've been the most vocal, or as vocal as anyone out there.
I'm down.
About the need for this, but I'm going to take it a step further. Buy or sell, the challenge system isn't enough. Every pitch should be determined by the system instead of human umpires.
Buying it! It's like tennis.
Yep.
Should be no ambiguity. Strike's a strike, ball's a ball. And a lot of these guys that come up with hit tools, Dylan Beavers, for instance, that we've seen, they're used to it. They swing strikes. Now, if you're baffled by a pitch, it is what it is. But I like the fact that it's going to be instantaneous. And Jim Hunter and I were talking yesterday on Baltimore Baseball Tonight. There was a game a couple of nights ago, Padres, where the home plate ump missed like 20 balls or strikes. It's enough's enough. Make it happen. I would take a robot similar to the one from Lost in Space as opposed to Laz Diaz not knowing what the hell's going on back there.
I know Tony Mancelino mentioned this, but there is strategy with it as well, right? You only get two in your back pocket. Just like the NFL, though, if you get it right, you don't lose it.
And it's the pitcher, catcher, and batter that call for it.
Right. But Mancelino's right. I mean, you don't want to burn it on the first at-bat of the night.
No doubt.
Even if there is an egregious call there, you're probably still thinking, oh, man, I probably want to save it for, you know, 7th, 8th, 9th inning. So.
Yeah, things get so bad, Mr. Splash was challenging stuff from out there in left center field.
All right. How about one more here in the NFL? Russell Wilson, we know he's out as Giants starting QB. A rough start to the season. Even the one game where he lit it up stats-wise, the results was still an overtime loss, and he did have the costly pick in OT. 4 years post-Seattle for him. That's hard to believe. It's already been 4 years, but his numbers have taken a consistent dip year after year. Only 11 games played for Pittsburgh a year ago. That was a roller coaster to begin with. And barring injury, not really going to get much run the rest of this year either. So now at 36 years old, all of a sudden someone who 10 years ago was probably considered a no-doubt future Hall of Fame quarterback, Super Bowl winner, 9-time Pro Bowler, all of a sudden he's fading into the background. His greatness from his early days, it's almost forgotten at this point. But buy or sell, Vinny, Wilson has actually put his Hall of Fame candidacy in doubt by the way he's played the past few years.
I'll sell that. You know, I mean, he's been at it a long time, and he's got a lot of good things that he's done with Seattle. But, the last 4 years has not been pretty. Whoever, the guy that's pushing him has really got to push. You know, like Clark Judge told us, you got one guy who's like your sponsor that gets up, the media person that does the talking to the committee. His person from Seattle has got to get up and just sell all the Seattle stuff to the committee.
Yeah, he built up a lot of equity
in
his Seahawk days, but since then, yikes, below average quarterback.
Made a lot of money.
But where does he go from here?
His wife.
To the
and
broadcast
kids.
Booth, yeah. Like everybody else.
I don't know. I mean, these guys just don't want to walk away. I feel like it's a Flacco type thing.
Well,
Aaron Rodgers type.
He's not going to have the opportunity, I don't think.
Could be.
Well, we come back. Jim Hunter is going to be joining us for the final time in 2025, at least during the regular season. Talk about the year that was for the Orioles. Bad. Look ahead to the playoffs a little bit. Speaking of the playoffs, we got an MLB report coming up. 1:15. Two teams clinched last night. Playoff spots. One team's in the midst of maybe the biggest choke job in the history of baseball. We'll get into all of that. Coming up at 12:45, our heroes of the week. That was week 3 of the National Football League season. Then for NFL lunch, we're going to talk to you. Join us for some football fun at the top of the hour. 410-583-1057. It's Woman Crush Wednesday. It's Vinny. It's Haney. It's Nolan here on
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Can the defense turn it around? Ravens back in practice. Get into all of that good stuff. But right now, joining us for the final time on a Wednesday anyway to talk Orioles, the 2025 season. 5 games left. Orioles are guaranteed to finish below 500 for the first time since 21. Will not make the playoffs for the first time since 22. He's our colleague on Baltimore Baseball Tonight. He's on the Window Nation guest hotline. He's Jim Hunter. Jim, how you feeling today?
I'm doing good, Bob. How are you?
Doing all right. Now, Dean Kramer, we talked about him a little bit yesterday prior to the game on Baltimore Baseball Tonight, brought to you by Jerry's Home Services, and he finishes his season with a bang. 11th win, goes 6 innings into the 7th, only 1 hit, a very impressive performance against a team that historically he pitches well against. So if we're going to grade Dean Kramer's 2025. And let's not forget, he hit the post every fifth day. How would you grade Dean Kramer for this season?
Well, if he could bottle what he had last night, I would say the grade would be very high. I mean, he had that splitter working tremendously last night. Six and a third innings, no runs, and as you mentioned, just the one hit. And he kept the ball in the ballpark. That was the key to the game. He's allowed 22 home runs on the year, but last night Tampa Bay couldn't get to him. So he finishes with a winning season, going 11-10, and he definitely has to be in the conversation for next year for the rotation.
Now, Tony Manzolino, managing out the string here, five games in 25, the interim skipper, and, you know, he'll get an opportunity to possibly get the full-time gig. But given the circumstances with the slow start, the injuries, the unexpected cundiff of Brandon Hyde, and then they get their brains bashed in his first game, how would you judge the job that he did, and does he deserve a chance to manage this team for the long term?
Well, I think he did a decent job of stabilizing a really bad situation. I mean, I don't think Brandon Hyde should have been fired, to be honest with you.
I'm with you on that one.
Mike Elias put this team together, and he didn't do a very good job. So Brandon Hyde really was at the disposal of the team that Mike Elias put together. So Manzolino did a decent job of stabilizing the organization and the team. But I really believe they got to go out and get a manager who they know can manage, who has experience, can come in here and change the culture, if you will. You know, they're going to finish below 500, as you mentioned, already with 83 losses. So even if they win the next 5 days, they're only going to be 79 and 83. So, you know, I'm sure Manzolino will be given an interview, but I really believe they need to change directions and go out and get a manager that they know can manage, who has a big league experience in the manager's spot.
Talking Orioles and Major League Baseball with Jim Hunter, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We were talking yesterday, Jim, on BBT and on Vinny and Haney about Trevor Rogers, most valuable Oriole, and deserving, very much so. Let's go on the flip side. The least valuable Oriole here in 2025, according to Jim Hunter.
Well, I would say you got to go with Adley Rutschman, because he was counted on to be a key guy in this lineup. And, you know, he spent twice on the injured list with first the left oblique and then the right oblique. And he isn't really the hitter that he was the first half of last year. So I would say if you have to pick out one guy, he certainly is the guy, because he is counted on. I mean, he's a number one overall pick. And he's the guy that they rely on to get big hits and drive in big runs.
Hey, Jim, how quick do we see a new general manager hired, new manager hired? All that stuff, I would imagine, is going to happen fairly quickly.
Well, in this organization, you never know. I mean, they still haven't announced that Mike Elias has been promoted. And apparently, he was promoted last offseason. So I don't know the answer to that, Vinny. I would hope that they would get down to business. I mean, they're not going to make the playoffs. So next Monday, when their offseason begins, they should get right at it. But, you know, who knows in this organization?
Jim, last thing for you, getting outside of Baltimore, Detroit. We're watching an epic choke job happening with the Tigers. Right now, they're only a game up in the wild card chase. They're a game back of the Guardians. They've lost seven in a row. This would be the most epic choke of all time. People reference the 78 Yankees. They were like in third place or fourth place, maybe 14 back. They weren't in second place. Cleveland was 14 and a half games back. How in the hell's this happened?
Well, they just picked the bad time of year to go into a slump. I mean, it's kind of amazing. On September 4th, they were 11 games ahead, and now they're tied for first place or a game back in the standings. So they just picked a bad time to go into this massive slump. And, you know, they're tied for the division lead. They still have two games in Cleveland. If they can win those two games, they'd leave in first place with three to go. But they've lost 7 in a row and 9 of 10. And the Guardians have won 9 of 10. So the Guardians are doing what they needed to do to get back into the division race. And the Tigers are certainly not doing what they needed to do to get back in the race.
All right, Jim, another season ends with us here on Vinny and Haney. What's the offseason going to be like for old Jim Hunter here?
Well, a couple of trips to Europe, religious pilgrimages that we're going to go on. And other than that, just hanging out with the family.
Pray for a couple of starting pitchers this offseason. Jim Hunter, appreciate the time
Thanks,
as always.
Jim.
We'll catch up with you before then. So enjoy the rest of your Woman Crush Wednesday.
All right, guys. Good to be with you.
There's Jim Hunter, everybody. Yes, he's right. They are tied for first, but Cleveland's got the tiebreaker for now. So if the playoffs started today, Detroit would be the wild card. We'll come back, get to the NFL, our heroes for week 3. NFL Week 4 starts tomorrow night, believe it or not. You can hear the game on the Fan with, Arizona and Seattle getting it on. But we'll come back, give you our heroes. If you want to join us, NFL Lunch Style at the top of the hour, get in now. 410-583-1057. You're venting for the Ravens. It's still very much welcome here on the Fan. Coming up at the top of the hour, if you want to join us for that, now's your chance to get on them phone lines at 410-583-1057. Nolan, you know, we start a new segment here on the programming. I'm sure once we get some fancy imaging to surround it, it'll sound even more awesome than it already is. But we'll call it for now, Heroes of the Week in the National Football League. We're 3 weeks into the season. We pick our choice for the top offensive player, top defensive player, and the top rookie for that particular week. And we'll start it with Vinny, your top offensive player for week 3.
Mine is Caleb Williams, 19 out of 28, 298, 67.9%, 4 touchdowns, no sacks, 142.6 quarterback rating.
Well, my offensive player of the week maybe went a little underappreciated because he plays for Las Vegas, and Vegas did lose in blowout fashion against the Commanders, but I'm going to go with Trey Tucker, wide receiver. Had 3 touchdowns in that game and a career-high 145 yards. Keep in mind here, entering this game, just 6 career touchdowns to his name in a little over 2 seasons. So this was truly a breakout performance for Tucker.
No doubt about it. I'm going to side with Vinny here, Caleb Williams, who, by the way, was named as the NFC Offensive Player of the Week. That performance against the Dallas Cowboys, and Caleb Williams is a guy that got sacked a bazillion times last year, and he's been under duress this season, but the last couple of games we're starting to see him get it a little bit. Roma Dunze is becoming a guy. DJ Moore, he had a touchdown reception. So Caleb Williams, congratulations to you, and a little shout out to Jonathan Taylor for the Colts too, who did well enough to be the AFC Offensive Player of the Week. Vinny, who is your defensive player for week 3?
Kind of obvious this week. Isaiah Rodgers, Minnesota, 87-yard interception for a touchdown, 66-yard fumble recovery for a touchdown, had 3 tackles, and caused another fumble. You see, like, he's punching, like Marlon used to do. He punches it out with a closed fist.
Yeah, that one, I mean, it was like he just stole it from the receiver's arms as he was running the other way. I don't even know if the ball hit the turf. Just snatched it right from him. For me, all right, it pains me to do this because I am going to highlight the Steelers here. And I don't know if this says more about the Steelers' defense or the Patriots' lack of ball security, but 4 fumbles for New England in that game on Sunday proved to be detrimental for them. If I got to pick one guy on that Steelers' defense, I guess I'll go with the ringleader, TJ Watt. I mean, who else? And it does help that he got his first sacks of the season, give him 2 on the day, and he recovered, as I said, 1 of those 4 fumbles.
Yeah, New England, as Will Graves said, they kind of served him up on a silver platter in some areas. But, you know, we've talked about it a bazillion times with the Ravens. They don't have that guy. They don't have Hendrickson. They don't have Myles Garrett. They got Mrs. Garrett. So Looking for Tootie.
Anything.
In the backfield. I'm going Derwin James. Chargers, who, by the way, was named as the AFC Defensive Player of the Week. 12 tackles.
Nice.
A sack. 4 tackles for loss. As the Chargers approved a 3-0 on the year, this guy was a stud coming out of Florida State. He's been stud Lee when he plays. He's had some injury problems over the years. But when he's on the field, we had Trey talking about Kyle Hamilton. Derwin James does that. Impact plays. Impactful player. And he did it again last week as the Chargers held off the Denver Broncos. And who is your rookie of the week?
My rookie is Luther Burden III. Second-round pick this past year. 3 catches for 101, a touchdown. Averaged 33.7 per catch with a long of 65.
Give me Cam Scataboo. I mean, I've just been itching to throw this guy in this segment for a while now, but he's finally given me good reason. Slow start for him in week one, but consistently getting more and more reps, more and more involved this past week. His most efficient, 60 yards total, 6 yards per carry, and the only touchdown of the night for the Giants when they lost to Kansas City. In my opinion, he should be way more involved than he already is, especially with a rookie quarterback taking over.
I'm going to go Seattle. And Torrey Horton, 5th-round draft pick out of Colorado State. 95-yard kickoff return for a touchdown. He caught 3 passes for 32 yards and a touchdown as Seattle dismantled the New Orleans Saints. DK Metcalf, he's now in Pittsburgh. Smith and Jigba is their number one receiver, but that Lockett-Metcalf duo that was so prolific for many years, they've been broken up. This guy, 5th-round pick, coming out making this sort of an impact. You are my rookie of the week in the National Football League through week 3. Your schedule for week 4, tomorrow night, 8:15. In Arizona, that NFC West up for grabs. Seahawks, speaking of which, they're at Arizona. Taking on the Cardinals. Seattle, 1.5-point favorites on the road. You can hear that game here on 105.7 The Fan. It's an interesting matchup because...
Well, with Connor's out, that hurts.
Done for the year.
Yeah.
Sort of out. But San Francisco, is Purdy going to be back? I mean, Kittle's out for a while. Bosa's out defensively for the entirety of said season.
I think it's an open division. You know, the Rams should beat the Eagles. You know, so I think Seattle, I think it's going to come down, Bob, to Seattle and the Rams.
Vikings and Pittsburgh in Dublin. 2-2-1 teams. Minnesota, 2.5-point favorites in that one. Commanders taking on Atlanta. Penix will start this game, as announced. Washington, 2.5.
And well, they fired the wide receiver coach. Because
why wouldn't they?
I mean, right.
Blame it on him. Saints at Bills, 15. Wait a minute. 16.5 is Buffalo undefeated against winless there. Cleveland at the Lions. Detroit minus 8.5. They just dropped a big old number on the Ravens, 38. They've scored 90 points in their last 2 games. Now, it'll be a tougher order against the Cleveland defense, but I mean, the Browns have scored 43 points total this season. So they haven't scored 20 yet in a game. If they score 17 like they normally do, they're losing by 15 to 16 points. As good as the Ravens proved that a couple of weeks ago. Carolina's at New England. Patriots minus 4.5. I see the Panthers as live dogs. We'll do our picks on Friday, of course. Chargers and Giants with Jackson Dart. L.A. 6.5. Eagles at Bucks. Philly minus 3.5. Mike Evans out for about a month with a hammy for old Baker Mayfield and the boys. Tennessee's at Houston. 2 winless teams. Texans laying 7.5.
Yeah. And the head coach gave up play calling duties.
So. For the Titans.
Yeah.
That's always good. Colts are at the Rams, one of the games of the day. Indy's undefeated. Rams are still 3.5-point favorites in that one. Jacksonville at San Francisco. I like another live dog in this game. I mean, I'm not saying Jacksonville's all that great, but 49ers minus 3.5 in this one. Bears at Raiders. Chicago minus 1.5. It's going to be a hell of a game in 1985. Yeah. Packers at Cowboys. Green Bay coming off that stunner at Cleveland. Packers minus 6.5. Monday night doubleheader, Jets at Dolphins. Somebody's looking for that win. First one of the year.
I'm guessing
Miami's
not a lot of people tuning into that one.
How about the Bengals and Broncos then? Going to set ratings records for this one?
Yeah, I think that's going to be a bad one too. Because it's going to probably be a one-sided game.
Yeah, I see Denver puffy pants in them. Yeah. They're 7.5. And then finally, the Ravens are at Kansas City. Baltimore coming off that disappointing loss at home to Detroit. They're 2.5-point favorites at the Chiefs, who are also 1-2. Difference is Kansas City's coming off a win. Ravens coming off a loss. Their second one against the playoff team from last year.
Yeah, and if you look at the Chiefs, the way they played, it's like, blah. They have not played well. Their defense is getting older, you know, but they're not 32nd like the Ravens.
Right. Now, if the Ravens score 30 on Kansas City, I'd expect a comfortable win.
Yes.
If the Ravens lose a shootout to Kansas City,
that's bad.
There's already problems. I mean, now we're really, really concerned.
DPs!
Where's Chuck Pagano? Rex Ryan, I don't think he's walking through that door. Sorry, Brian.
Yeah.
And Owings Mills. We'll come back NFL lunch. You want to bet on the Ravens? Now's your chance. This is the time. 410-583-1057 MLB report. Coming up at 1:15. Then Eric Edholm from NFL.com. Preview week 4 with him. And coaches on the hot seat. And the 0-3 team that could dig itself out of this hole and maybe save the season.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.